Well, good morning. I'm so glad that you are here this morning. As we're walking through, we're finishing up this series, Kill the Spider. I want to shout out to you if you're listening in from Vincennes, Princeton, online, or maybe just down the hall in the fireside room. And if you're newer around here, I'm so glad that you decided to be here this morning. We know it's not always easy to step in a new place, but I'm so glad you did. We've been having these conversations about what it looks like to tackle some of the hurts and habits and hangups in our life that are keeping us from the full life that God wants for us. And our starting place for these conversations has been this passage in Luke 11 where Jesus talks about this guy who has this demon driven out of him, but after it leaves, it returns back to him to recognize that he hasn't filled the spot in his heart where the demon was. And so the demon goes and gets seven buddies and they all possess this man together and he's worse off than before. The simple truth of this passage is that simply being emptied of evil is not enough. Simply being emptied of evil is not enough. Like, this is not a series where we are challenging you to just stop sinning. Like, that's not what this is. It's not enough to just change our behavior. We need to be filling ourselves up with God's spirits and welcoming healthy habits and rhythms into our life to take the time, to take the place of this sin struggle that we're wrestling with. And I think that a passage like this has the potential to make some people uncomfortable. Because we're hesitant to think about things in spiritual terms. Like we are hesitant to do that, but the reality is we are spiritual beings. Like the physical things that we do, our physical life has deep spiritual implications. God's word says really clearly that the battles that we wage in this life, they're not flesh and blood. They're about a deeper spiritual battle against spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. The physical things that we do have spiritual implications. And so we're being challenged to tackle these hurts, these habits, these hangups, because they're affecting so much more than just our physical life. They're affecting our soul and our spirit as well. And so, and more than that, they're holding us back from the better thing that God wants for us and from us. Right, we just finished a conversation last month a series called Illuminate, where we're challenging you to be the light of the world, right? To go out and shine the light of Jesus into the dark places in this world. How can we do that if we're still holding on to this hurt, this habit and hang up that's limiting our witness? And so we're being challenged to not just dust up the cobwebs of our life, the problems that these sins create, not just to corner them and identify what they are, but this morning, my hope for you is that you would not leave this place without that spider dead. Friends, that is possible this morning. It's what God wants for us. I think what plenty of us do, even as we've been listening to these sermons and conversations, is that we convince ourselves that as long as we just keep that sin contained, that struggle contained, that we're fine. Like, we can keep it contained, but to kill it off, man, that seems impossible. But as long as we can keep it in here, right? As long as we can keep this spider contained, then we're good. And then we decide, like, we can do it one better, actually. We can cover it up, right? So nobody else can see it. And we're convinced that that's working, right? That as long as we do a good job of keeping our spider contained and hidden away so that it's only showing up when people aren't looking, that's fine. But God wants so much more for us than to just keep this spider contained. He's calling us to kill it. Now, this is not a real spider because I went to Matt and told him that I wanted to bring live spiders onto stage this morning, and that the student pastor in me was like, I'm going to figure out some way to like kill it off in front of everybody. It's going to be super cool. He shot it down really hard. Something about how it'd cause either a riot or a news article. We didn't need either one. Lame. But the truth that I want you to understand, the point is we can't allow our sin to just live. Because even if we think that we have a handle on it, even if we think we have it contained and covered up well enough, that sin is eventually, like the Bible tells us, sin grows in the dark. Like, it grows more powerful in the dark. The Apostle Paul talks about sin like yeast or mold that works its way through an entire loaf of bread. Like, it can't be contained to just one spot. It affects the whole of the individual. It affects the whole church. And I think so many of us have tried for so long to just keep our sin at bay. to just play the right part and show up here week in and week out and make sure that that thing that we're hiding, it only makes its way out when nobody else is around and nobody else can see. But friends, God has something so much better for us than that. It is time to kill the spider. And I get that for some of us, these are going to be some uncomfortable words to hear this morning. I'm going to work to get really specific, to call some spiders by name. And I get that that's not very comfortable. It wasn't for me as I was writing these words, but I am begging you, stick with me through the discomfort. Lean in. Because the life that Christ wants for you, it is worth the discomfort of conquering this sin. It's worth it. And more than that, if you've accepted Christ, these words that I'm speaking to you, they are not words of condemnation. They are words of hope and encouragement, right? The Bible says very clearly, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That when he went to the cross to die, he took the record of our sin and our wrongs with him, and it was crucified with him. Guys, Christ has already defeated the power of sin on the cross. We just have to make the decision to live in that reality, tap into that power and kill the spider and leave it behind. So let's do that this morning. Let's call these spiders by name. Let's snuff them out so we can experience the better thing that God wants for us. I want to start by talking about some habits because I think that a lot of us struggle with unhealthy habits, and the truths that from God's word that apply to these habits, they apply to hurts and hangups as well. But I think a lot of us would admit to having some unhealthy habits in our life. And the reality is that like all of us, if we're breathing right now, we are creatures of habit. From a scientific perspective, something like 95% of our behavior is habitual, meaning that like it's triggered when a given thing happens, this behavior is just triggered in us and we don't even have to think about it. Right? There are more technical terms we can apply to it, something like synapses in the brain and neural pathways. I took Psych 101 like 6 years ago, so it's been a while. But I mean, like this is what allows us to eat and have a meeting at the same time, right? Because you don't have to consciously process chewing and swallowing. That just happens so long as you put food in your mouth. And that frees us up to intake information and nutrition at the same time. You see, we serve an intelligent designer who has created us as creatures of habit so that we might be able to survive and thrive at the same time. But since the beginning of time, Satan has been in the business of hijacking God's perfect design. And so some of us, in the same way that we are naturally creatures of habit, have allowed some things in our life to arise that trigger some unhealthy habits in our life. Maybe it happens at a particular time of day. Maybe it happens when you're doing a certain thing. For me, I recognize my phone is the host of a bad habit in my life. And then as soon as I like pick it up, I stand the risk of getting sucked into it. Like first thing in the morning when my alarm goes off and I grab my phone to turn it off, I have to fight the urge to immediately open Facebook or Instagram and begin to scroll. When what I really need to be doing in those moments is taking the time first thing to thank God for the day that I have and prepare in that way for the day before me. Or first thing when I get home from work in the afternoon, Jarek is usually working on dinner. And so I come in and I sit at the island and I've realized that without thinking about it, my phone can come out of my pocket and be in front of my face. And I'm convinced that I'm having a conversation with her. I'm fully present, but I'm not. I'm scrolling. And so I've had to get intentional about saying, no, I'm going to leave my phone on the counter by the door. Or when I forget to do that, I've started to try to, as soon as I bring it out of my pocket and catch myself doing it, I'll throw it out of reach. Guys, I don't know what it is for you, what that habit is. Maybe it has to do with your phone. Maybe it has to do with something heavier, like a substance or a drink. Maybe it has to do with your dating relationships and the way that there's just this habit of broken relationship, of a broken relationship. Maybe it's pornography. I think some of us have some habits in our life that we've allowed to form, and they're triggered by things. More so, they're triggered by a feeling more than anything. Like for me, I recognize that my phone, like that's the result. It's not just that it's triggered by an event, but it's triggered by a feeling, a need that I've decided is for fullness. Right? And so I would rather chase that feeling of fullness by filling up my heart and mind with crap than just sit in a moment of stillness or undivided attention. Maybe that's the feeling you're chasing, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's security or peace or numbness or release. Whatever it is, we allow these habits to form because we're chasing a feeling that God has already desired to meet in us in such a more wholesome way. And I know that as we've been having these conversations, for the last few weeks, some of you have heard us name that sin, call it by name, and you felt that ping of conviction because we've brought that thing up that you have been trying for so hard for so long to keep hidden and contained. Don't do it any longer. Kill that spider today. God does not want that to live in your life, and he has the power to conquer it in you. So it starts with recognizing what's going on in our heart and mind, identifying the triggers and working to change our behavior, but it has to go beyond our behavior. It has to, right? Because the battle that we fight is not just physical, it's spiritual. And simply being emptied of evil is not enough, right? We need to be filling ourselves up with the Spirit of God. And so we need to recognize that if that's true, if killing the spirit, having the spider, having victory over our sin has to go beyond our physical behavior, we need to engage then in spiritual warfare, not just physical. Like the battles we fight have to be spiritual battles. Flip with me to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. It's on page 950 if you want to grab a Bible in front of you and flip there. Paul, this is where we get this truth from Paul, where he says that the battles we fight aren't physical, they're spiritual. And starting out in verse 10, here's what he says. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." See, I love how Paul uses this imagery of this physical armor to describe what spiritual warfare looks like. But I think the most significant things that he says are right at the very beginning and end of this chunk of verses. Right in verse 10, he starts out by saying what? To be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Here's what I want you to recognize. That we are called to fight a spiritual battle. The things that we're wrestling with, they're more than physical. But the battle that we are called to fight, it's not based on our own power. The power that we fight with is not our own. And as you go through this list, recognize that Paul is laying out all these pieces of armor, but the armor we fight with isn't ours either. A belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel, a shield of faith, a sword of the Spirit. None of these things are ours. They're gifts from God. They're his. And recognize also that as Paul is describing how to engage in this spiritual warfare, he lists out all of these defensive pieces that we need to take on and only one weapon. And still, that weapon has nothing to do with our own strength. It's simply his word. Y'all, if we want to win this spiritual battle that is raging in our heart and mind, we simply need to call on God to fight for us. Because it's by his mighty power that the battle is won. It's when we're outfitted with defenses that come from him. We are calling on the power of his Holy Spirit to go before us into that fight and fight for us. I mean, as I read these words, my mind immediately goes to the book of Samuel, where David is getting ready to face down Goliath, and Saul gives him this royal armor to put on, but David takes off Saul's royal armor and walks into battle with a handful of rocks, a strap of leather, wearing jeans and a t-shirt, because the armor that he's wearing is not his own and it's not the kind that people can see. And as he steps into the battle, he turns the battle over to the Lord, and the Lord has victory. How do we kill the spider? How do we defeat the sin in our life? We call on God to intercede. He will go before us. and he will kill it off. If we want to see the spider dead, it's as simple as admitting, confessing to God that this sin exists and calling on him to kill it off. I mean, this is exactly, and Paul goes on to tell us exactly how this looks as we finish this passage in Ephesians 6, right? He says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. On all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. You know what that sounds like to me? A habit. It sounds like a habit of prayer. And let me propose this to you. What if in the same way that we are by nature creatures of habit, and that the habits in our life, they're triggered by things in our life, like they're triggered by a given circumstance or event. The habits that are harming us, they're triggered by certain things in our life. What if in the same way we used the beautiful design of God to our advantage and let our temptation to sin become a trigger for our habit of prayer? What if in the same way that we can be triggered into sin, our temptation to sin becomes a trigger for our habit of prayer? I promise you, if you work to instill a habit of prayer in your everyday life, that is when you are going to see the best days of your life. When you make a habit of every time that temptation starts to rise up in your heart, every time it starts knocking on the door, that you just immediately run to God in prayer and just say, God, help me right now. God, be present right now. God, right now, I pray that this thing that's trying to make its home in my heart and my mind, that you would cast it out by the power of your Holy Spirit and kill it and fill me up with a fresh filling of your Spirit. If we will call on God to be our defense, to fight this battle for us, he will show up. And I can promise you this because we see this promised in his word, right? That if we confess our sins to him, that he is faithful and just, not only to forgive us our sins, but to wipe them out of our life. That sounds an awful lot like killing the spider to me. If we want to see our spider, that sin, that hurt, habit, hang up, killed, and removed from our life, then it's as simple as asking God to do it. Now, I want to be careful here because what I'm not saying to you is that if you call on God, if you pray to God right now, that you're never going to be tempted to sin again. That's not what I'm saying to you. I mean, Jesus was perfect in every way, and the Bible says that he was still tempted in every way. Listen, the temptation that you are battling right now in your life, you might go to God in prayer today, you might call on him to kill it, and he will, and you will feel that freedom. You will see him show up, but you might not even get out the parking lot before that temptation starts knocking on the door of your heart again. And I know that that's not the warm, fuzzy feeling that you came looking for this morning. But let me give you an even greater encouragement in this. What if that temptation, that hurt, habit, hang-up that you are fighting with right now becomes the backdrop for you to see God show up and become real to you, that more real to you than he ever has before in your life? What if that temptation that you are battling right now becomes the opportunity for God to show up in your life in greater power and measure than you've ever experienced before? I cannot promise you that you'll kill your spider today and never have to fight it off again, but I can promise you that if you call on God to fight for you, he will show up in your life and he'll kill it off time and time again. And I can make you this promise because this is exactly how we see it in God's word. I mean, the Apostle Paul, who wrote like a quarter of the Bible that we have, he struggled with a sin, a habit, a thorn in his side, he said, that he went to God and begged time and time again for God to take it away from him. And finally, God responded, and his response to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, this is not an excuse to sin. God's grace is not a free pass. No, this is a promise that if you are willing to keep getting back up and getting into the fight and calling on God to go before you, he will show up. He will show up in your life in ways that you've never seen or experienced him before. If you want to see your spider die, that can happen today. Call on God, he will kill it. And as those moments of temptation start to rise back up in your heart and mind, time and time again, you have the opportunity to call on the God of the universe to become real to you personally. Now, here's where I'm going to start to sound blasphemous, okay? But I want you to stick with me. God is calling you to live free from the sin in your life. He's calling you to recognize what's going on in your heart and mind and change your behavior. He's calling you to a personal relationship with him so that he can become real to you, so that he can fight for you. But God, if all you're doing is working to change your behavior and have a personal relationship with God, you are still not going to see freedom from that sin in the way that God desires for you. A change in behavior and a personal relationship with God is not enough. You need human accountability in your life. You need relationships with other believers around you who can help to safeguard your heart against sin in your life. If your struggle with sin remains a conversation between just you and God, you will never see freedom from that sin the way God desires it for you. And this truth sounds blasphemous almost, but I got this idea. This truth became so real to me as I was reading this book titled Made for People by Jason Early. He's the same guy that wrote Habits of the Household. I know a lot of you guys went through that in small groups just this past year. And in the introduction to his book, Jason writes these words. He writes, "You were made by God for more than God." I know those words don't sit right with some of you. They didn't sit right with me when I first read them. But I want you to stick with me because the point that he's making is biblical. In Genesis chapter 2, right, God has completed creation. He's made day and night, the sea and land, the sky, birds, fish, mammals. He's grabbed a clump of dust and breathed into it, and Adam is born. Creation is complete. There's no sin. There's no corruption. Adam is there in complete unity with God. And Adam and God are strolling through the garden together, and God looks at Adam and says what? "It is not good for man to be alone." You see, even in complete unity, perfect unity with God, God's desire for us is that we would have relationships with people around us too, so that we can experience the fullness of life that he created us for. Jason goes on to write these words. He says, "Our fullest spirituality is only possible with others. Our intended existence only works in community. Our highest call is only realized when we pursue it alongside others. In other words, you need friends to be who God made you to be. Friends are the anatomy of your soul. They're at the core of your longings." And in this book, he goes on to argue that what believers today so desperately need and so desperately lack is simply friends in their life who are going to know them completely, good, bad, and ugly, and love them anyways. A friend is someone who knows you fully and loves you anyways. And isn't that who Jesus is to us? And if we're called to be like him, then we have to be pursuing those kinds of relationships with people around us, where we know someone completely, the nastiest parts of who they are that they've tried so hard to keep contained and hidden. And when we see those things, we choose to love them anyways and hold them accountable so that they can conquer those things. Guys, sin first entered the world because Eve found herself isolated and alone. And that is when the serpent cornered her off and convinced her to give up the full riches of God for a bite of fruit. And time again, we see these examples in scripture of how when people are isolated and alone, that's when they commit their most heinous sins. But it's when they're in community with other believers that they're safeguarded from it. If we want freedom from sin in our life, then we've got to call it by name and change it, our behavior. We need to have the power of God's Spirit to fight on our behalf, but we need accountability from other believers too. And any of those two things without the third is going to leave us living short of the life that God wants for us. If you are married, this has to start on a spouse level. It has to, because this is how we see it modeled in scripture. Adam had community when God gave him a wife. And it says at the end of Genesis 2, as you read those final words, it says that Adam and Eve were both naked and felt no shame. That's more than just a physical intimacy. That's spiritual too. And we need to strive for that in our marriages. Guys, I know how easy it is to occupy the same space and lack spiritual intimacy, but we have to fight for it. Do you have the kind of marriage where, full of grace, your spouse can look at you and say, "How are you doing with this sin?" Have you been investing in a relationship with God? How have you been doing on prayer? How have you been doing on time in God's word? Are you allowing that breakdown in behavior to open up a door for sin in your life? Spouses, we have to be willing to hold each other accountable. For Jerrica and I, one simple way that this looks is that her and I do not have separate social media logins. We are logged into each other's Instagram and Facebook. And not because of there's any jealousy or paranoia, but because social media is a place where we're supposedly connected to hundreds of people at once, and yet it's a place where we can be more isolated than ever. And it's a breeding ground for sin. And so we safeguard each other against that by just making sure that that's not a hidden area in either of our lives. And it screws up my algorithm. Okay, like I'm scrolling through reels and looking at videos of people doing stupid stuff to get hurt and home improvement projects, and all of a sudden there's one about breastfeeding. It's worth it. It's worth the accountability that brings to my life. But it's got to go beyond a spouse level too. We need to have women. You need to be pursuing relationships with sisters in Christ who are willing to know you completely and love you anyways. And guys, I think girls do better at this than we do. But as men that are called to be spiritual leaders in our homes and in our communities, we have got to make this a priority in our lives. If you missed the men's retreat this past weekend, you really missed something, and you need to make a priority to be here next year. And I couldn't have planned it better that the entire weekend was spent encouraging us to seek out community and accountability amongst other men. That if we want to see the battle won in our culture, in our world, if we want to see the church triumphant, then it begins with Christian men, the leaders of our homes, banding together and holding each other accountable and leading that movement. Men, we have to pursue that accountability. Parents, you need to be this person for your kids, especially if you are the parent of a preteen or a teenager. And I know exactly how difficult that is. I know there's awkwardness to push through. I know they don't make it easy. But listen, what students today so desperately need is parents who are willing to stand up and grit through it and defend their heart, because the battles that are waging in their heart and mind right now are more fierce than they'll ever be at any other time in their life. Parents, you need to be able to push through this awkwardness and difficulty and know your child. Take the time to ask hard questions. Have hard conversations. Make the time for it, and know that we're pushing for that on our end as much as we can, to have the hard conversations and ask the hard questions. But I get to hang out with them once or twice a week, and you're with them every day. And I cannot do what you do. They're your child. You've got to make the time to go on a drive or grab ice cream or take them out to breakfast on a Saturday morning. Find time alone with your child to hold them accountable and defend their heart. And even if they hate it in the moment, they will look back on those days, those moments, with so much gratitude that you were willing to fight through what was so hard to love them the way that you're called to. Guys, if we want to see freedom from sin in our life, it starts by a change in behavior. It starts by calling on the power of the Holy Spirit to intercede and fight for us, but it can't stop there. We have got to pursue accountability, community among other believers. God's word says clearly that we, yes, need to confess our sin to him, that he will purify us from unrighteousness, but that we need to confess our sins to one another too and bear each other's burdens and pray for one another. If we want to kill the spider, cast out the demon, fill up what was in its place so that nothing can come back, then these three things have to happen. And I know that we spent a lot of time talking about habits this morning, but the truths that apply to these habits apply to every other area of our life too. I know that perhaps the greatest hurts that we experience come at the hands of the words or actions of somebody else. If that's you this morning, if you're hanging onto a hurt like that, hear me say to you, full of love, that if you walked into this place this morning and raised your hands in worship and offered God a sacrifice of praise, if you took part in communion, but you are still holding on to some bitterness and unforgiveness, some anger towards somebody in your life, you are not in right standing with God right now. And those are some hard and heavy words. I am just the messenger. Paul says that bitterness, it's like a poisonous weed that takes root in our heart and it destroys us from the inside out. Christ says that if we're on our way to church or if we're at church and remember that we've got conflict with another brother or sister, that we should immediately stop what we're doing and go and settle it. That to hold hatred towards somebody means that we are just as guilty as if we were to just murder them. That the same measure in which we show forgiveness is a measure we'll be forgiven. If you are holding on to some bitterness, some unforgiveness, some anger this morning, you need to forgive that person. And I know, I don't know what they said to you. I don't know what they did. Forgive them anyways. Listen, God saw the very worst parts of your life and theirs, and still he went to the cross to die for you both. And God's desire for you is not that you would live a life bared down by bitterness. He wants to offer you freedom for that. Bitterness is just as hard to shake as a bad habit. And so it's gotta be more than just a change of behavior or a one-time decision. It has to be a constant running to God in prayer. Every time that bitterness starts to well up in your heart, every time that anger starts to rise, that you immediately go to God and give it over to him. Pray for blessings over that person, the strength to forgive them for the hurt that they've caused you. And then it needs to go beyond just you and God. You need to find accountability with another person. And if you can't seek out the person who you have direct conflict with, if that's not possible, or if there's a risk there, then you need to find somebody else that you can talk to. And not so that you can vent and talk crap about that person, but so that you can be challenged by them to forgive that person. I think another hang-up that hurts create our anxiety and fear in our life. If you know my family and the road that we've walked, you know that we have experienced some hurt that has created some fear in our life over things that we can't control. Friend, I am telling you that God's desire for you is not that you would live a life held captive by fear. And you need to run to God with that time and time again. And you need to find community in his church to help find healing from that hurt. Maybe for you, the hangup is anger or rage. That no matter how hard you try to fight it or contain it or control it, it seems to break out and spew out in the worst possible moments. And it's bringing ruin to your life, to your relationships, to your marriage, to your friendships. Listen, you cannot win that battle on your own. You cannot tame that beast on your own. It does not matter how hard you try or how many behaviors that you instill. You cannot do that outside of God and his mighty power. But with God, you can conquer that anger in your life. As soon as that moment of stress starts to build, you need to run to God in prayer. And as soon as you lose it for the millionth time, you need to stop and be reminded that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus and run to God right away. Ask for his forgiveness for your sin, that he would purify you and fill you back up. And if you're here this morning and you're not uncomfortable yet, can I suggest to you that maybe the name of your spider is apathy? If you're not identifying something in your life that you need to tackle, that God wants to see you let go of so that you can live the better thing that he has for you, then maybe it's because you're not opening up your life to hear him speak to you and point out the things that need to change. And maybe you need to pray this prayer that comes from Psalm 139, that God would search you out, that he would know your heart and he would point out the things in your life that are outside of his will for you. Friends, we need to kill the spider. It needs to happen today. We don't need to live with this thing anymore. There's no more trying to contain it or hide it. We need to kill it off. And that's possible right here and now. And it's possible because it has nothing to do with your own power or ability. It has everything to do with the power of the Holy Spirit coming alive and working in and through you. But it has to go beyond that. It has to go beyond a change of behavior and a personal call to God. It has to extend into your community. You need to find accountability. I want to give you the opportunity to kill that spider off this morning. In just a minute, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me that I find myself praying multiple times a day. And then more than that, as we finish up with prayer and we go into another song of worship, I want to challenge you not to just kill it off today and wait for it to return, but to find accountability in your life to safeguard yourself against that sin. There's going to be pastors that'll be alongside and in the back of the room during this last song. We would love to talk with you and pray with you. But more than that, maybe the person that you need to find accountability with is a spouse that walked in with you today, that's sitting next to you in the chair. Maybe it's the friend or the brother or sister that you came in with. And during this last song of worship, I want to encourage you not only to have called on God to kill that spider, to eliminate that thing from your life, but to find accountability, to confess that sin to somebody who loves you and cares about you so that they can pray for you and hold you accountable. Can we do that this morning? Would you pray with me? God, I pray that you... I just praise you for who you are and how you love us. God, I confess to you right now the sin that I've allowed to make a home in my heart. God, I pray right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would kill that thing off, that you would cast it out of my heart, and that you would fill me up with a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Amen.